Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of the show. Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, in a few moments on the business of sports. Our thanks to Guy Cipriano on our Masters preview previous half hour. You can check out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
The Wolves have done it! They've rallied from 17 down to shock the defending NBA champions. 124-117 in overtime is our final score. A career-high 35 points for Shabazz Muhammad.
And that's the call on the Timberwolves radio network last night as the T-Wolves went into Oracle and they beat Golden State 124-117 in overtime last night. The Warriors had a 17-point lead last night and couldn't hold it against the T-Wolves. Minnesota has some really good young talent on that team. Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins.
Golden State twice this year.
Yep. Some really good young talent on that team. But again, in the NBA, that doesn't translate into the upper half of the bracket. It just doesn't.
Now Golden State has to go 4-0 the rest of the way to get that regular season win record.
You know what? At this point, if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm looking at my guys and I'm saying, who needs time off? Seriously. I'd ask, who needs time off? I really wouldn't mess around with this thing.
Got a little bit of it last night. They seem kind of gassed.
Exactly. I mean, I look at them right now and I'd say, you know what? What's more important, winning the title or doing this? And winning the title is exponentially more important than getting the 73 wins. They've got two of those games with San Antonio, by the way.
And I would think one of those games, Pop will rest his starters probably at Golden State.
He probably will rest them. I don't think there's any doubt about that because to him it's winning the title. He seems to get it.
And they're undefeated at home, but I don't think that matters to Pop whatsoever.
He's got five championships. That's what he understands what it's about. It's about titles. It's about hardware. It's about going through the season. It's not about the other stuff's a little bit of gravy along the way. If you can win 73 games, it's gravy. Oh, I love Scottie Pippen though. We'd sweep him. Scottie, you're 50 something years old. I don't think you can compete with him right now. All right, so I mean, I'm sorry, but it's not the same jump as you had back in the 90s. All right. Tony Knopp's the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Tony, welcome back. It is great to have you with us. We've just gone through the Final Four. And let's face it, CBS does not outbid ESPN on its own. They needed TBS on board with some of their money to retain the rights, and they did. And the rights fee is huge for the NCAA. We're doing the Masters now, another one-year contract for CBS. TV entities all over, the Big Ten's opened up its television negotiating period right now. Why is it we haven't seen a leveling off in ticket prices?
You know, for us, when we look at it, more on the side of the high-end tickets and how people want to experience things. It's almost a generational thing right now where live events are just hot across the board. It's not just in sports. It's festivals. It's, you know, people getting together and gathering. But sports in particular is one of the few things that hasn't really been disrupted by the new ways that we consume media. It's not something that you can record and watch later. It's not something that you binge watch. You want to be a part of it while it's happening. And that's part of the experience, is having that community with other people. So you couple that with the fact that there's a little bit more, you know, scarcity in the market, so to speak, you know, when the economy's doing okay, and tickets continue to go up. And, you know, the Masters, for example, getting started here, you know, yesterday, really, with the practice rounds,
right,
Tiger's not in it, and the ticket prices are up. Mm-hmm. That speaks to a lot of different things, and it speaks to the question that we're answering now.
In fact, in a lot of ways, the Masters always almost seems to be bulletproof. One year, the club just took everything in when there were protests and just did it themselves in conjunction with CBS with no commercials. I mean, what does that tell you?
They are an incredibly strong brand and an incredibly strong experience. Now, have they benefited from years like when Tiger won it the first time and badge prices tripled?
Sure.
Yeah, that happened, right? But they've been bulletproof when it comes to the downs don't match the ups, right? They have these fantastic years like the Woods DeMarco shootout or Woods in 97 or when Phil won it, and it goes way up. And you would think that, okay, naturally you'd have down years when like Trevor Immelman or, you know, guys that we haven't heard of are running away with it, Angel Cabrera for the second time. And it just doesn't happen. It stays up there.
Golf in general, where is that right now, ticket-wise, as something to do? The Masters is almost bulletproof. The U.S. Open is going to they're going to go back to a traditional course in Oakmont this year. That's going to do extremely well. In fact, we're going to do the show down there. But
that's fantastic.
It's unbelievable. In general, though, how's the tour doing?
The tour is doing well because they're making a lot of changes and trying a lot of new things. Golf in general is selling very well, especially on the sponsor side. The problem with golf is the merchandise sales are way down. You know, in Dick's Sporting Goods, they were down 42% last year. Yeah. Practically broke the company. They made such a bet on it. And they're not getting millennial buyers. And everybody knows this. And that's okay, because we're still in a cycle right now where the boomers are the buyers. The boomers and the Xers are the ones who are going to buy the most expensive stuff. But what they are seeing, which is a problem, is the millennials are not participating. They're not buying. And we've seen that at places, you know, like Michigan had problems getting millennials in to use their tickets a couple years ago for football. But it's not on the scale that we're seeing with, you know, professional golf, whether it's the PGA Tour or it's the large events like the Open or the Masters.
Which organization is the slowest to adapt to the new ways of doing things that you just talked about? Who's been the slowest?
It depends on what they're really adapting to. The NHL is not the fastest in what they do.
Okay.
Major League Baseball is incredibly fast when it comes to their own digital packaging, but when it comes to changing the rest up, making content available to the masses to try to expand their brand, they're pretty slow in the way they move. I would say it would be them. They're not keeping up with like the MLSs of the world, who are dynamic, who are creating examples in situations like you see in Portland and in Seattle, where you have just rabid fan bases that align with the fan bases you see with like the Green Bay Packers or teams that have very long histories. I mean, it's just a very different experience than people realize until they go see it. And baseball is not keeping up. I mean, yeah, you have your stalwart teams in baseball, but the other teams are just dying.
Why is it the Dodgers struggle with their TV packages?
Right now it's just a matter of pricing. I think the Dodgers believe, you know, we're on this block with other teams who have gotten a certain number, and we believe that our number should be that. And for your listeners out there who may not know, you know, Dodgers have been unavailable to a very large amount of the population in the Los Angeles area for two years and going now. And it doesn't look like there's going to be any settlement. And it's because they believe that their rights fees should be paid and Time Warner and the providers don't.
Wow. In Jacksonville recently, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell was asked in an open forum by one of the fans, because Jacksonville plays a game every year in London,
yep,
whether or not they would put a team in London. And he said, yeah, they will. I know we had Scott Radisic from Populous on the show recently, and Populous is the one that's doing the Tottenham Stadium where they're going to play games, where they have that the grass field, the pitch. They hit a button and it swings out, and the football field comes up. It's really cool.
It's the right year for it. Tottenham's second place in the Premier League right now, so they're printing money over there.
Leicester City. First time in 132 years.
it's so sad to try to explain that to the non-soccer fans, and I get it, right? It takes a little bit to get used to soccer, the game. But, I mean, people don't understand that that's like a triple-A ball club.
Yes.
Moving up to Major League Baseball next year and then winning the World Series. It's unbelievable what they're doing.
Yes, it is. Now, do you think the NFL works in London instead of a sprinkle here and a sprinkle there?
Yes, I do. I think it's one of the few international markets where it does. The crossover, the expatriatism, the love for the game there, I do believe we're going to see it based a little bit on the numbers we saw with the World Football League out there. I think if they try to go to other places in Europe, I don't think it's going to work. I just don't think there's enough crossover in Germany, Spain, you know, places like that, Portugal, but Italy. But I do think that they can pull off a team in London. And I think there's just going to be, even if they don't get the corporate support that they want in London, it's still going to be more than Jacksonville. And I think everybody realizes that that's just the way this is going, right? Jacksonville's a great story, and they've been trying for a very long time, but it's going to go the way of what we've seen with other teams moving to Winnipeg, Jeff, moving back to Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend who works for the Islanders who has been told we may be moving to Quebec, right? And it was, and that was not in passing. That was a staff meeting that you're going to hear rumors about us possibly moving to Quebec. They are true. Right, I think what's just happening in these pro sports across the board is they're realizing small markets don't work. Let's find big markets. London's the next one.
Okay. But yet they'd be going from Brooklyn to Quebec, yep, where the dollar, yep, is right now 76 cents to ours.
Yeah, it's hurting. It's hurting, but they're not succeeding at the Barclays Center. No. The numbers are not good. The fans are incredibly unhappy. There's a 4-year opt out on one side and 5 years on the other. So, you know, the story has been reported incorrectly that there's a, you know, an opt out at 4 years. That's one way. There's actually a 2-way opt out in that deal, but you know, they're just not going to get what they need built in Nassau County. And there's always been the argument that, you know, we should go back to Quebec.
Ooh, wow.
You and I probably agree. I think they'd be better off in Hartford. Move them back to Hartford.
Well, darn right, move them to Hartford. They could play in the Civic Center for a couple of years and then build a brand new place, and they would be just fine because the Whalers played to 97% of capacity their final year there. And
the Whalers are still the sixth best selling merchandise,
yes,
for the NHL.
Reebok. Yep. They sure are. They are number six, and they haven't existed in 20 seasons. 20 seasons they haven't existed.
Yeah.
They're number six in merchandise, which is an amazing story.
Well, let's put a team in Vegas. Forget that team. Let's put one in Vegas. See what happens.
That's the next question, because they're going to announce expansion, whether they're going to do it before the entry draft. So we're about 2 months away from finding out. We know that Foley has done, and I've seen the. Have you seen the arena, Tony? I've seen it.
I have. Yeah.
Yeah, the arena.
We partner with them on some stuff. They're great. They know what they're doing. T-Mobile Arena looks great.
The arena is gorgeous, right? It's absolutely gorgeous. Right behind New York, New York, if you know, for anybody's familiar with the Strip. And how difficult is the Vegas market for – and this is the reason I asked the question. It is one thing where you and I have, quote, our day jobs, okay. But Las Vegas has built on a lot of night entertainment, which means you have a lot of people working at night when the games are going to be played. So how much of a gamble is this?
You know, I, in my own ignorance, thought it was more of a gamble than it might be. I went in thinking the same thing. How do you get a season ticket base? How do you drive that season ticket base? But the way they're approaching it is a little bit genius. Look, this is an international play. Think about this like the EPL.
Right.
There's no more international market than Vegas,
right?
And yes, it's not going to be the traditional model, but when we get sponsors, we're not going to go to our local sponsor. Right. Of course, you know, MGM is going to be involved and have a lot to do with it.
Right.
And some of the local people are going to be involved. But it's not like here we say, okay, who are the top, you know, the Rams are moving down the street here, right?
Right.
And literally, 2 miles from our office.
Right.
Who do we call that's the top financial services company? We've got to lock that up. Who's the top car company? We're going to lock that up. And you're usually looking for people. You draw a circle within 30 miles of the stadium. You're looking for the local people.
It's your Southern California Chevy dealer. I got it. Yeah.
100%. But they're not doing it that way. They're saying this is an international hub. Etihad Airways and Emirates, you need to bid for this.
Barclays.
Because we're going to have global reach. Yeah.
Wow.
Barclays, those guys, right? And that's how they're approaching it, which I'll be really curious to see because, you know, the belief is that's the future, and I'm not even sure that's the future anymore. I think that's the present for Manchester United and for Manchester City and for, you know, many NFL teams that just have international reach.
Right, and that's another reason why the London thing is so intriguing to the NFL. It gives them that that reach so that they can then appeal to markets in this country that are European.
100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a hub. Look, you're going through London. If you're going out to the Middle East, you're going through Germany. You're going, and that's how they do their advertising and their campaigns. And, you know, they're all very involved out there. Emirates is a huge player in the English Premier League. And, you know, there's a lot of the sponsors out there that haven't been touched by the NHL. And I do like it for the NHL because you have the KHL out there. You right. do have, mm-hmm. you know, leagues that are already succeeding. See, the NFL doesn't have leagues succeeding in Europe right now.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Basketball kind of does.
Right.
But the NHL has legitimate hockey leagues that are succeeding in Europe. So if you can globalize it, you got a shot.
Yeah. Well, the arena is beautiful. I mean, they've got everything in there you could possibly ask for. When you just mentioned the Rams, I'm going to sense that as every day passes and the Rams are out doing what you said that they're selling, that it's making it an absolute uphill climb for anybody else who wants to come into the market.
100%. 100%. I've always wondered about that. I wonder if the whole thing was just leveraging to get a better deal in Inglewood. It's, for those not familiar with the area, Inglewood is much more central than any of the other bids were. It's where the Lakers played forever. It's literally where the Lakers played. Next door to the Forum is yeah. where they're going to build the stadium. And look, this is going to come down to, if you want to join our market now, Chargers or Raiders, you've got to be number two on the list. So I think what's really happening is they're going to use LA as leverage to get the Raiders to San Antonio.
Right.
Right. Or see what happens in Vegas with the NHL team and possibly move them there. I don't believe they're going to have a second team here just because, you know, yes, they had two teams here in 1992. Well, the corporate influence on sports in 1992 was maybe 20 to 30% of revenue. Now it's 70% of revenue for some NFL teams. And, you know, Merrill Lynch or Fox Studios, they're not going to pick up a tab for two teams. They're going to pick up a tab for one. So do you want to come be little brother?
Right.
Right. And that hasn't really worked out well for anybody anywhere. I mean, you can look at, you know, the one exception, the exception to the rule, which is basically like, you know, the Mets and the Yankees, even though there's a little brother in the Mets, you know, sure. they do fine.
Right.
But yeah, anywhere else, you know, is it a Cubs town or is it a White Sox town? Right. We all know it's a Cubs
town. It's Cubs town.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, is it MSG's town or is it Barclays? It's MSG's town. We all know it. Right. Who wants to go and be little brother?
Right. Exactly. And that's why to me I feel like the Chargers are they're pigeonholed. They've got to get yeah. something done in San Diego because going there they're going to be so far behind they'll never catch up.
No, and there's going to be enough bad blood from San Diego that's going to percolate up here. They don't have the background that was the Rams. I mean, look, it's going to be fun. I mean, people say, I don't know if LA has an appetite for a pro team, but my son's already got some Rams here. I mean, I have a lot of friends that work for the Rams, so it works out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think people are going to jump on board and do well there. I don't think they're going to blow it out of the water. I think we're not going to see the 49ers, right, with their new stadium. But I think it's going to be more tempered. They'll be a middle-performing team economically for a little while and see what they can do with that campus in the bid for LA 2024.
Right. All right, Tony, what we're going to do, I'm going to hold you over a little bit into the next hour, all right, because we're going to take a break, then we have news at the bottom, and then we'll continue with Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Still more ground to cover with him. The guy in digital media in the fetal position in the corner is Kevin, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're going to hold Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, into the next half hour. A lot of ground to cover. I know we're talking money, markets, ticket sales, things like that. But no money, no markets, no sports, okay?
It's intriguing, though. It's a side you don't really hear all that much about.
Well, you have to talk about this. I think if you don't talk about this, and I mean talk about it, you know, he's brilliant at taking something that really is high level and explaining it like we're sitting around at a cocktail party and hashing it out.
Even though he's in L.A., he sounds grassroots.
No, well, he is grassroots.
Yep.
I mean, and he's always been grassroots, which is interesting because he, you know, he's a sports fan. I mean, big San Francisco Giants fan, as a matter of fact. And getting the Rams in there has really been interesting because we've talked often about, you know, the Clippers. You know, you talk about brands, big brother, little brother. The Lakers, despite having a terrible record the last couple of years, they're still big brother in L.A. The Clippers are still trying to work their way in, even though they have the better team. But they share a building. Let's face it, you know, things that you want in today's experience, and this is all being discussed as to what to do with Beaver Stadium, for example. What do you do with Beaver Stadium? Do you renovate the existing structure or do you build a new structure? Well, if you renovate either way, you know, say, for example, you renovate the current structure, one of the things they're going to have to do, there are several things on the list they have to do at Beaver Stadium. Some of them are as simple as, look, make the bathroom facilities outstanding. Make the concession areas first class. Okay. But there's also something else that today's modern fan wants. All of you want really good Wi-Fi. And that's something that is also very important in all this. You know, you need to have the ability to take your device out, and I don't care if you want to look at scores of other games or you want to text to make sure everything's okay at home. You want to have great Wi-Fi at your hands in the stadium. And when you have that many people in one place, sometimes it's difficult. That's why you have to have a top-flight Wi-Fi facility. Levi's Stadium, where they played the Super Bowl, is that kind of facility.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. Don't forget, we have the Phillies tomorrow at 12:35 from Great America Ballpark when they take on the Cincinnati Reds. We return to talk with Tony Knopp in just a few moments. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. Al Freeman. Sean, you're asking, who's Al Freeman?
I was just thinking that. Who is Al Freeman?
He is the manager of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and also the manager of the Smoothie King Arena. Smoothie King Arena happens to be where Tim Frazier and the New Orleans Pelicans play. If you recall the incident, I don't know, a week ago, maybe 10 days ago, where a 5-year-old walked onto the court and hugged Carmelo Anthony. Do you recall that?
That's right. Yeah, we did talk about that.
Five-year-old walked out and hugged Carmelo Anthony at the free throw line. Al Freeman has now announced, as of yesterday, that the off-duty police officer who was working in security and the usher have both been fired. You know what? I'm sick and tired of every indiscretion leading to the guillotine. Every time something happens, that person needs to be fired. That person needs to be fired. You know, excuse me. Bring the two people in. Tell them what the deal is, right? And make sure that they understand, look, that can't happen again. What's wrong with that kind of management? He says they were completely embarrassed by the incident. Not one person ripped your security or your arena over the incident. In fact, everybody thought it was adorable that he went out and hugged Carmelo Anthony at the free throw line. Now, I do completely sympathize with security issues. I completely sympathize with that. This week, in fact, on Monday, they will run the Boston Marathon from Hopkinton to Copley Square. When they do, between security, volunteers, and police, they'll have 5,000 people spread over the 26-mile, 385-yard route. Not participants. That is police, security, and volunteers acting as security. 5,000 of them spread out over 26-plus miles. We can't even take a jog for fun to test ourselves without thinking something evil might happen. That's bad in a statement unto itself. So I do understand the issue with security. A five-year-old running onto the court and hugging Carmelo Anthony is not a fireable offense. Now, it happens again after you've been warned. Okay. But there are better ways to manage things than constantly having the guillotine sharpened and ready to go when you feel something's gone wrong. That's just me. That's just me. I think people need a little more leeway these days. He was five. Okay? Five. Carmelo seemed to survive it. All right, let's bring Tony Knopf, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, back in.
You're a huge Giants fan.
That's right.
San Francisco Giants fan. Oh, we've talked in this show so many times, believe me. One of these days we're going to run into each other and go, oh, yeah. like we know each other for years. You're a huge Giants fan. And one thing at AT&T Stadium, use your phone Apple Share to buy. If you want to go and get a hot dog, you want to get a beer, you want to do whatever, sushi, I don't care. You can use your phone in that park to do it. How adaptable are others across that have now taken what we'll call the Starbucks technology and using it in ballparks or in arenas?
So they're trying. I mean, everybody knows that's the way this is going. We want to have one central location for everything we're doing. And there's a benefit that maybe the fan doesn't realize, right? What they're doing here is they're saying, we want to trade convenience for data. I want to know that Steve's here. I want to know what he buys. I want to know why he buys it so I can better market my product to him. Well, I can't just ask him. That's not going to help me. What I need to do is give him something convenient. And so what they're doing is saying, Steve, I can cut down on concession lines. I can make it so that you can order food in your seat. I can help you upgrade your seat in the middle of the game. They're going so far as to this company called Experience that makes it so that you can pay $75 to have your kid run the water bottle to the umpire in between innings, right?
Right.
And the reason they're doing this is because they're trying to create data flow. And there's been a lot of success for this. So VenueNext does it at the 49ers. They just signed a deal with the new Minnesota Stadium. And there's a couple of other providers are out there. But we don't have a winner yet. It's almost like Google, Yahoo, Microsoft Online is as it was back in 1998, right? We don't know which company is going to do it. So each team is trying to up their Wi-Fi enablement so they can do this. The problem is most of the teams don't have the Wi-Fi capability. WrestleMania 3 days ago saw thousands of people not get in because the Wi-Fi went down at Cowboys Stadium.
Whoa.
And they couldn't get in. And if you go look at the lines, you go look at the queues, it's thousands of people stuck outside. They missed the first hour of the show. That's the danger we run into. So are the fans ready for it? I think so. Are the teams themselves ready for it? Yes. Are the buildings? Many of them are not. And it's a huge rush. That's why, you know, people always wonder, why do I see so many like Verizon and AT&T sponsorships in sports? It's not just for that. It's because when you're in Verizon Arena, you're going to engage with Verizon.
Right?
We're going to brand you and show you how great your experience is here. And, you know, guess who's not going to work very well in that stadium, right?
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So, yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. The reality is, you know, just like with this StubHub Yankees thing that we saw, the reality is there is an ulterior motive to it. And that ulterior motive is I want to know as much about Steve as possible, just like Apple knows everything there is about you and I right now.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, I got a note from them. They're disappointed. No, I'm just
I'm not that interesting, right? Everybody says you're on a watch list. I'm like, yeah, well, I don't really do much, so they're going to get bored quickly.
I just want to let you know. Apple got a hold of Tony and Steve. They learned everything they could have. They're very disappointed. They're just not exciting.
Exactly.
Okay. Finally, I always ask you at the end, what's hot, what's not? What's hot, what's not, as you look 8 to 9 months into the future?
The Olympics is next. Everybody's curious what's going to happen when we get down to Rio. The infrastructure seems to be set up thanks to the World Cup. There's a lot of questions about the virus. There's a lot of questions about how people are going to travel. Given that the global economy is relatively strong, but corporate America seems to be pulling back, that's going to be a major foreshadowing of what's going to happen with our economy globally because of the timing. Generally, when there's a meltdown, generally when there's a recession, generally when there's something goes wrong, it happens at the end of the summer. You know, sell in May, go away, and everybody comes back in September, October, November, and we see what's going to happen. That coincides directly with the Olympics this year and with corporations spending dollars to travel down to Rio. If it's a very, very strong Olympics, I think it's going to tell us a lot about what's going to happen next year with the Final Four in Phoenix, with the Super Bowl in Houston, and with some of those events that we can that we see internationally.
Yeah, and that'll be the first Final Four that far west in two decades, which will be interesting. And also, to let you know what the Olympic people, how concerned they are, they've worked out a deal with the Olympic gold medalists, get exemptions into the majors. And that told me something, that they're worried about the field they're going to attract.
Big time. I've heard a lot of the players talking about that they're not going to play in it. They don't care.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I mean, I'm not sure how much I care. I'm a huge golf fan. I know you are, too. I pay attention to the Masters. I don't really care to watch them in the Olympics. It's not amateurism. No. I mean, just another tournament with no history.
Exactly. So, exactly. I mean, we're going to do the show down at the U.S. Open. That might be a little more intriguing.
Man, that's
going to
be fantastic. Yeah, the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Flashback to the duel down there. I'm jealous of that one. That's a great one.
One of the great moments. You know, you get lucky if you're around something. I was there covering it and watched Palmer walk up 18 and 94. That was the day OJ went for the Bronco ride, but still, you know, those are things you never
forget. That was the day OJ went for the Bronco ride. That happened. The World Cup kicked off.
Yep.
And there was NBA Finals Game 7.
Yeah.
All on that same day.
I mean, it was wild.
Yeah. The universe tilted that day.
Yeah. God.
It's an unbelievable day in history. Nobody realized, like, you say it, and people think, no way all those things happened on. It's like June 14th, I think, 1994.
Yep.
No, it did. It all happened on the same day.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much for the time. Everybody loved it.
I appreciate it. We'll catch up very soon. Best to you and yours.
Best to you and yours. Hope the baby's doing well, by the way.
She's doing fantastic. Thank you.
Great. Tony Knopf, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. There's monetary exchanges, but you know, he made some important points there, and one of them is that the global economy is right now at one of those crossroads moments. The stock market has bounced back a bit. Fuel prices are down; they've come back a little bit. Fuel prices are down a bit. Inflation is up. And what's going to happen with the global economy? Well, you have to look for some indicators. The Olympics will be one of those indicators, because will global entities and will entities in the United States throw their lot in with the Olympic Games? With the idea that, look, you know, we feel that this is a strong investment countrywide and worldwide, because we see sales in the next year. If you see a pulling back, that's going to be an indicator that companies globally and in this country are going to circle the wagons a bit and try to ride it out. And he's absolutely right about that. The Olympics will be an indicator of that, as to how well it sells and how well people travel to it is going to be one of those factors. And, you know, I'll give you an idea. You have to look for certain signs. And, for example, before 2008, good friend of mine, heavy into investment, and I went to college with him, so I've known him for 30-plus years and we've stayed close for a long time. He said, look, the housing market thing, he says, is going to collapse. I said, it's going to collapse. He says, yeah, it's going to collapse. He says, there's going to be a lot of foreclosures. We're headed for something bad within a year. And he told me this back in 2007. I went, wow. Well, that's the same thing. There are certain indicators that you look for, and this is going to be one of them. Now, Lawrence and Reichle can fight back and forth tomorrow about whether whether it's going to turn left or right here, but that's their job. I'm only here to tap into the sources I know, such as Tony,
And that will set the tone for tomorrow's conversation as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I could walk out right now and slice. All right. Great to have you with us. Actually, I don't slice that much, actually. Whenever I once in a great while, you're like, okay, like that one got away. But if I hit an errant one, it usually is a hook. And I take that shoulder and push it through too much sometimes.
May 4th, I want you to be slice free. We're rooting for you.
Oh, I love that tournament. Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Love the course, love the people. Just great. Connecting with everybody, getting a chance to talk to as many people as possible. I love that tournament. That tournament and Coaches versus Cancer are the two that I will say yes to every time. Every single time. This is the 25th year of it. This will be the fifth year I've been involved in it. And, you know, Bonnie does a great job. They all do a great job. I probably have more fun in that day than anything I do off season. I really do. It's just. And I know that we're talking this year, since it's the 25th, it's a worthy cause. And they've been talking about people possibly kicking in an extra 25. Well, I'm going to kick in my extra 25. I know that. Because it's a great cause. Just a great cause. And it's going to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. There's morning and afternoon flights, four-person scramble. Is Kevin going to play?
Well, in lieu of not me being a golfer, I will give Kevin my spot. I know you probably don't want me to say that. I've never golfed a hole in my life.
Well, you can't be any worse.
Well, my dad, God rest his soul, he passed away when I was 7. He loved to golf, and I bet if I only had an opportunity to at least shoot a round with him and have a couple of pops at the 19th.
Oh, so, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was able to play golf a few times with my dad. I always had a great time. Dad. All the time. Yeah, I completely understand where you're coming from. Kevin's stories in that tournament are now legendary. So,
I better be in charge of the golf cart then. I can at least do that.
I mean, Drew Kelly and I walk around the course. We look at what the hell is he doing? I don't know. I got to get back in the car with him. Hey, good one, nice shot. Yeah, great. But I love the course. I love when you're standing up on the tee and you can look out and you can see the valley and you can see the mountains. It's gorgeous. Just incredible. And then, Tom Mertz and the group will come by. We'll see them. I'll see Corey. Corey will come by. Great.
Purdy's all come by. Unbelievable. See Bonnie before we go out. Just the long list of people we end up seeing. And we do the show there and the whole deal. We just have a great time. So, but it all benefits the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And can't ask for a better charity than that. And we'll have a great time. The Masters will tee off this week. But then for many people, that May 4th date, that usually is something like the kickoff to their year. I've already gone out. I've already played 10 rounds. Now, 10 nine-hole rounds. I have not played. In fact, I have not played more than 14 holes. And I think I only did that once. And I think I've played probably a dozen holes, maybe three, four times. But so essentially, as far as I'm concerned, I've played 10 nine-hole rounds so far this year. I've just been able to get out. I've had some time when the season ended. Had a little bit of time to get out there and do things. Football practice is not every day. Now, this week I haven't been able to get out at all because, obviously, you know, I don't really feel like going around the ash can at the tee and warming myself up and then hitting the shot. But it is later in life. Hey, I've golfed since I was in my teens, but later in life it's been a great exercise for me. I'm not one that can sit on the exercise bike, even though I do have one here. I have one right outside the Sunbury Motor Studio, as a matter of fact, and I use it, but it bores the living daylights out of me. I've always been somebody that always got his maximum exercise when he was doing something that had some competition to it.
Well, it's like you're motoring and motoring and motoring, but you're like literally standing still at the same time.
I mean, really, it, honest to goodness, it's pedaling to nowhere, all right? It's like, okay, all right.
It's like a Talking Heads song. We're on the road to nowhere.
Oh, my goodness. At least when I'm out playing golf, okay, I may be looking for the ball, but at least I'm walking around doing it. Now, for me, it's been the best exercise I can ask for. I play a fair amount, but I play a fair amount because I love it and it's great exercise for me. I hope you saw Matt Millen's going to join Scott Graham for the blue-white game telecast along with Brian Tripp on the sideline. It'll be tape delayed. Jack Hamm and I will have the broadcast on the Penn State Sports Network, including News Radio 1070 WKOK that day. Today's show brought to you by, I mentioned Tom Mertz already today, our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, right near the Susquehanna Valley Country Club routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.